This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull. Today, a multifaceted program. We'll start by going to the movies in Clear Lake. The town will be the home of a film festival. We'll talk to Tana Frederick, the founder of the festival and a Hollywood actress, about this film festival in that town. And then we'll talk about Character and Character Counts in Iowa, an organization that tries to identify character, and they give awards out every year for Iowans with the highest level of characters. And then the second half of the show, we'll hear from John Pemble, who spent some time with Leslie Hall. She's a singer, dancer, performance artist, and gem sweater enthusiast. She's an artist from Ames that practically defies description and has a following around the world. That's all coming up today on Talk of Iowa here on Iowa Public Radio, right after this check of news from NPR and Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk about character in Iowa and how Iowans with great character will be honored later this summer. And in the second half of the show, IPR's John Pemble will take us into the world of performance artist, singer, dancer, and gem sweater maker Leslie Hall of Ames, an artist that defies description. But first, let's head to the movies, specifically to a film festival in Iowa. July 16th through the 18th, Clear Lake will be the home to the 4th Annual Iowa Film Festival. Iowa native and actress Tana Frederick founded the festival and joins us now to talk about it. Good morning, Tana.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
So tell us about the festival.
Sure. Probably 5 years ago, when we released my first larger film that I was in called Hollywood Dreams, I went to Ashland, Oregon with it, and the community was so lovely there. It was such it was lovely people, lovely reception, very intelligent, educated people who were, had very open-minded and hungry to see films. And I just thought, while I was there, it was my first film festival, and I thought, well, why not start a film festival in Iowa? I know that we have a couple already going on that are documentary film festivals and such, but why not take all the contacts that I've made, you know, from being out in Los Angeles for 7 years now and bring all those people back to my hometown, which is Mason City. And so I called Richard Shino, and he helped to helm the organization, and we got started off with a bang and brought Hollywood Dreams there and a plethora of celebrities and legendary actors, Karen Black, David Provall. Last year we had Randall Kleiser, who shot Flight of the Navigator and won the Lifetime Achievement Award. And he did It's My Party and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And so we've just been going strong this is our fourth year now, and we keep bringing more people out from not only from Los Angeles, but from the greater Iowa area, people, filmmakers who are emerging talents and showing their films and having a venue to put their films out there.
Now, you see this from both sides because you're a hometown girl, but you also work in the industry. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what does this film festival do for the filmmakers who bring their movies to Iowa? And then what do you think it does for your home community of Mason City, Clear Lake?
Well, I think it works on two levels. First of all, I am delighted to be able to bring fellow filmmakers to Iowa because nowhere do they feel, and I'm saying this, I'm saying this verbatim from people who I've talked to, nowhere do they feel more special or taken care of or well received or supported because, I know I am an Iowan at heart, and I will always be, and I know my people, and I know that all of us are, we're ready to go and see films and tell our opinions of the film, and we are honest, and filmmakers really appreciate that. And then they appreciate the integrity of our film festival, because basically what we're doing is we're housing them in wonderful bed and breakfast in Clear Lake and taking them to the surf ballroom. And last year we had everybody dancing in the surf ballroom to a big band, which was totally romantic and wonderful. And I remember the first year I drove the whole crew out to my grandparents' farm to watch a calf being birthed. And it was pretty hilarious to see David Povall from The Sopranos. You know, he played Richie Aprile, who's like the toughest character on there, crying as this calf was being birthed. And Karen Black in her Christian Louboutins, which are like $1,000 heels, out walking amongst the cow pies. It was just, you know, it's just an unbeatable experience. And for me, that's it's really a gift, because I love to be able to take filmmakers to the place that I love and that my roots are in, and let them be pampered there by the people who are excited to see them and meet them and involve themselves in their film.
And
then the other part of the question is, what does it do for Iowans?
Yeah.
What I wanted to do, most importantly, is, you know, when I was in Iowa, I think that we have a misconception that films can only be created in Hollywood, and which is completely not the case. I mean, with the technology available now, people are making, you know, people are making full-feature films from $500 cameras from Best Buy, you know, digital films. And the quality, you don't have to compensate for quality. You don't have to compensate for the actors. You can find people in your own space, and because this is available to all of us now, all this equipment, we can edit our own films, we can create our own films, and we can win awards for our own films. And that's what happened last year, is we had a lot of local people coming out, emerging filmmakers, like I said, who maybe were, one kid was a lawyer. I mean, I say kid because I grew up with him, but he's now a young man, and he ended up making a feature film that won an award. And you know, just to be able to show Iowans that we make films as well, that films can be made in the Midwest and compete on a national level and compete with Hollywood standards, because, you know, there's a lot of junk that's made out in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of wonderful quality films emerging in the Iowa Film Festival. So I wanted people to be inspired to create their own work.
You seem to have a sense of Iowa being a little more real than some of the things we have in LA. Do you have any concerns bringing some of these Hollywood types out to Iowa, that they see it as oversimplistic and, oh, how quaint, we're in Iowa and there's animals and hay bales and all of the misperceptions and stereotypes about Iowa? Do you have any concern that when you bring them to Iowa that it reinforces those with them?
No, not at all. In fact, the funny thing about Hollywood is everybody is pretty much transplants. And Karen Black, for example, is from Missouri, and she grew up in Missouri. And so a lot of the people I know didn't grow up in Los Angeles. A lot of the actors who come out here, and they're all from their own different towns across the United States, and they may have been out here now for, you know, 10 to 20 years, but they still have that small town, you know, that they came from in their hearts. And so I don't feel that the stereotype is, I think it's broken, actually, by bringing people there, because they realize how wonderfully intelligent and hip and cool we are, and most people end up not wanting to leave. I mean, the people who I've brought to the film festival from the first year keep coming back. And so the same crew keeps coming back with more and more filmmakers added. People just have a delightful time and are delightfully surprised by the warmth and the reality of the people in Iowa. You know, it's out here, there's a lot of, there's so many films, and it's so easy to get overlooked. But by selecting certain films to come out to Iowa, those films are really able to get a lot of attention from people, and the filmmakers really appreciate that and value that, and value the Iowans' intelligence and, like I said, their charisma, their integrity.
Now, did the emerging film tax credit scandal that's been going on in Iowa, has that created any challenges for you in putting together this festival, or in any way put a stain on some of the things you're trying to do about promoting movie making in Iowa and movie watching in Iowa?
No, not at all. I mean, not at all. What was happening, I think, is a lot of the big films, as far as I knew and what I've seen, a lot of the huge budget films, you know, the multi-million dollar films were heading out to Iowa and shooting there. I think Splice was shot there with I'm blanking on his name right now, but there were a whole bunch of films coming out to Iowa and being shot there for the tax incentives, and I don't think that that stopped the smaller films from being made in Iowa. There are just as many smaller films being created there. You know, it's just that Hollywood's not bringing their whole film crews out to Iowa to film right now, which is okay. I mean, you know, most of them still are filming up in Canada or Bulgaria or, you know, where they can get good incentives. But films are being made. I just got offered a role in Southern Iowa, a lead role in a film down there that looks wonderful. And unfortunately, I'm in a production out here, a play that's been running for a year, so I couldn't take it. But there's a lot of film going on there, a lot of great casting directors even in Iowa, and producers, directors. So I don't think it's hurt.
The lineup of movies at the festival is very diverse and quite extensive. Wondering with the few minutes we have left if you can talk about two of them. First of all, the movie you're in, the sequel to Hollywood Dreams, and then the other one is a documentary about Clear Lake. Those are two that caught my attention.
Yes, both very exciting in their own right. I was able to, because I am from Iowa, and the last three films that I've done with Henry Jaglom, I've gotten kind of the rights and the privilege to be able to screen the films first in Iowa, which is only appropriate because in Queen of the Lot, I play a girl who's come out to Hollywood to be famous and is from Mason City, Iowa. So it's somewhat, I can relate to that character somewhat, but it is a wonderful parody of Hollywood, and Queen of the Lot co-stars Noah Wiley, and a slew of wonderful actors, Catherine Crosby, who I'm working on getting out to the festival, is being Crosby's wife, and his daughter, Mary Crosby, who she was known as the woman who shot J.R. in that series. And so I'm bringing that, and that's going to be shown on Friday night, and it's the only sneak preview across the country that we're showing of this movie before we release it into theaters nationwide, which is really cool. So that's on Friday night. And then Mark Rydell is coming for the Lifetime Achievement Award, and that man has done On Golden Ponds. He's Oscar nominated. He's a brilliant filmmaker, a legend, and I think one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. So he's going to be there to meet people, show his films, receive the award. And the film about Clear Lake, I mean, that's another example of local filmmakers who are doing good and learning to explore their equipment and create wonderful documentaries out of what, you know, their own history and their own local scene. So I've heard great things about it. I can't wait to see it. I haven't actually seen it yet, but I'm really excited.
The fourth annual Iowa Film Festival will be in Clear Lake, July 16th through 18th. More information is at www.iowaindie.org. Tana Frederick, Mason City native and big-time Hollywood actress, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for talking about the festival. I really appreciate it.
Coming up after the break, Character Counts in Iowa, and in the second half of the show, Ames performance artist Leslie Hall. That's coming up on Talk of Iowa here on Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jonathan Aull. There's an organization in Iowa that awards character. It's called Character Counts in Iowa. Amy Smith is the communications director for the organization and joins us to tell us a little bit about the program and their awards. Amy, tell us about Character Counts in Iowa.
Character Counts is a program that we're using to help teach the six pillars of character: trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and citizenship. Those are great tools to help teach civility and character to adults and children and even entire organizations throughout the state of Iowa. So, you know, once people are aware of, you know, having good character, it's such an important job to start recognizing the people who are out there demonstrating it. Especially in the news, you hear so much about, you know, all the bad stuff people are doing. So, you know, this is our favorite time of the year when we're asking people to take a look around at your friends and neighbors. We think Iowa's full of hardworking and determined, honest people, and we just like to have you nominate a few of them for a character award.
And what goes into a character award? I mean, how do you how do you determine who wins?
Well, actually, we purposely do not determine who wins. We mm-hmm. have a volunteer selection committee of 50 people who are made up from the entire state of Iowa, who kind of represent Iowa to decide who the winners will be. So they get together in August and sit down and noodle it out for a few hours. Tough job.
Now, why is this important in today's society to have an awards competition for what some people just do so naturally?
Some people do it so naturally. And unfortunately, you know, there, for instance, are kids out there who might not necessarily be getting character education at home. And, you know, we try to work with parents and talk to them about you don't have to have a strict regimented character education program going in your home. It's about, you know, weaving good character into things that are already going on in your home. So, for instance, I have a 2-year-old. Her first pillar that I've taught her is responsibility. So to her, responsibility is putting her dish in the sink after she's been excused from the table. So you can start teaching them early. So if there are kids out there who don't necessarily haven't been exposed to it, it's good for them to see role models. And it's good for them to see the people who are doing great to inspire them. Plus, you know, I think it's always good to know that someone's appreciating your good character.
To what extent are you guys fighting an uphill battle? Because so many media influences subject kids or just society in general that characteristics that don't make up good character are somehow valued, being aloof, being mean, being a self-preservationist.
You definitely don't have to go far on cable TV to see the lack of civility. And frankly, you don't have to go far, I'm sure, in some communities to see a lack of civility. So that is really what we're trying to make people aware of. And you know, we're never going to solve the disagreements. For instance, even on the political spectrum, we're never going to solve the differences between the left and the right, for instance. However, we could go about how we talk to each other differently. We could talk to people using a little bit more respect. And essentially, I feel that that's what it comes down to is I may not agree with you and I may not agree with your opinion, but I'm going to treat you with respect as another human being.
I'm glad you mentioned politics, at least tangentially. Character Accounts was founded by former Governor Ray. So there's definitely some history in it in public policy and politics. It seems like in the last several years, the people whose voices are heard in political discourse are the ones who are farther away from center and who say the more outrageous things about the other side. So how does character in a noble program like Character Counts have a real impact when the discourse about public policy is dominated by the Glenn Becks and the mm-hmm. Keith Olbermans of the mm-hmm. world?
And, you know, they're certainly the people that get the most attention because it's such a good story of whatever comes out of their mouth this week. And really, when we're talking about civility and how we are treating people, we talk a lot about you can't control other people, but you can control yourself. There's a good quote by Thomas Jefferson that says, I'm going to treat you as a gentleman, not because you are one, but because I am one. So, you know, I definitely can't treat or I can't change the way that you're going to treat me, but I can treat you with respect. And it's going to really just take that individual action as a collective group to take that collective responsibility as a community or as a state to change how we relate to each other.
How does your group define success?
That's tough. I don't think we've ever looked at it in terms of a this is how we'll know when we're done type of thing. But an example that we always use is that former Governor Ray was driving to Eastern Iowa somewhere and he said, you know, because as you know, he was governor when the can and bottle bill came into effect. And he said, back then, that was just the norm to see cans and bottles in the ditch. And now you don't even think twice. You would never do that. You know, and will there be a point then where the six pillars are just kind of that top of mind? You wouldn't think of doing it other ways. So it's tough because, you know, you can't change everyone and our job's not to be the pillar police and go around and try to change anyone. But, you know, I think that we have little day successes every day when people come up and tell us how it's helped them in their company or how it's helped them with their kids.
I know your organization doesn't have any religious affiliation, but I'm sure that a lot of people who are hearing this will say that their moral compass is based in their spirituality and in their faith. So how does what Character Counts does supplement it for those people that do have some kind of faith-based morality that they are educated on in the home and in their places of worship? And then how does it become one of the main focuses for people who may get who may not have exposure to some kind of set of guidelines and rules?
Well, Six Pillars and Character Counts itself was actually founded back in the early 90s. And, you know, the joke there is that it was founded by a lawyer named Michael Josephson. And he was teaching ethics classes to college students and kind of felt, you know, why are we waiting till they get to college or law school before we make them learn about ethics? So let's start earlier. Let's be proactive. So the first thing they did was they kind of gathered all these great minds in ethics and character. And the first thing they did was let's find a common language. We have to know how we're going to talk about these things. And that's how they developed the six pillars of character. And what's great about them is that there's six universal values. It may look different when you go different places as far as, for instance, how people show respect, but it's still important everywhere. So, for instance, even the United States, depending on religious differences, it may look a little bit different, but as long as we're still treating each other with that human respect, it doesn't matter if we're using it from our faith-based or from our just our own, you know, ethical selves.
How long have you been giving out the awards?
This is our sixth year giving out the awards.
And the people who've won before, certainly some famous people and are well-known in Iowa, and then some people that most people have never heard of before.
Sure. We have lots of award categories, and it really allows us to recognize a bunch of different types of people. So, for instance, we have Citizen of Character Awards, which go to anyone. It could go to you or a business or organization. We actually gave out a Mascot of Character Award one year. It went to Cubby Bear from the Iowa Cubs to talk about sportsmanship. And then one of our highest awards is our Ray Pillar of Character Award, named after former Governor Ray. And past recipients of that include Dallas Clark, Sean Johnson, Hayden Fry, locally Jim Hallahan up in Ames. So it's a really great opportunity to talk about those people who have really taken the spotlight to do a lot of good.
The nomination forms are available at charactercountsiniowa.org. What should people look for in their regular lives? Of what kind of people should they nominate?
I always think, you know, when you first think of who you're going to nominate, instantly who comes to mind of who do you admire? And, you know, whether it be somebody who, you know, that person is really good at always keeping their promises, or, you know, this person is so caring. She volunteers at church every week. And then the nomination form, we hope, is fairly easy. After you tell us who you're nominating, you just need to answer 10 questions. So tell us how that person has shown respect. Tell us how they've demonstrated citizenship. And from there, we'll take them and start recognizing.
Amy Smith's the Communications Director at Character Counts in Iowa. Again, nomination forms for their awards are available at charactercountsiniowa.org. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up in the second half of Talk of Iowa Today, John Pemble reports on Leslie Hall, gem sweater enthusiast, singer, dancer, and performance artist from Ames that defies description. Leslie Hall coming up as Talk of Iowa continues after this check of NPR News.
This is Talk of Iowa. I'm John Pemble.
Booyah! I bring a Midwest game, rocking for the long haul. I got my Iowa Hall of Fame eye on the ball. Open your eyes and paint on some of that blush. It only takes one to have an internet crush. I move and shake with the best of them. I get a little sweaty. That's just
through September, the Des Moines Arts Center's exhibit, Iowa Artists 2010, is on display. One of the 15 artists featured is Leslie Hall. She's from Ames, and Leslie defies an easy description. She works with video. She takes pictures of herself posing in gem sweaters, sweaters decorated with shiny rhinestones, and she has a unique music performance. In 2002, Leslie launched an online picture gallery where she featured her favorite gem sweaters. This quickly gained a large following of fans. Then she released her first hip-hop music album, and she raps about gem sweaters and her love of do-it-yourself crafts. She's also published a lot of music videos on the internet, many of which have been viewed over 100,000 times. Leslie Hall sat down with us and said the internet is the reason her work is seen by such a large audience, big enough that she can make this her full-time occupation.
I do not know if I could be doing this 10 or 15 years ago. Internet was invented, thank goodness, in my lifetime. I needed this. I seriously think I would be probably working as a realtor selling condos to home life people. I have no idea what I would be doing. I just got really lucky. Probably painting portraits of people's pets.
Well, that wouldn't be too bad of a life, would it?
No. I would have accepted it, but dang, this one's better. I like this one better. Yeah.
When I was at the Des Moines Arts Center during the opening night of Iowa Artist 2010, which you're one of the 15 artists featured in that exhibit, I was standing by your work, part of which features a video. And in that video, you're dancing your trademark gold spandex outfit. You're enthusiastically dancing, I might add. And this older patron was looking at this video, and she'd never heard of you. She'd never seen you work until that moment. So I asked her what she thought. And she said it was fabulous and that you have a lot of initiative and you don't seem afraid of anything and thought that your movement was just great. And then when I talked to other people about their work, they had similar comments. Often I heard descriptions like uninhibited or liberating. Is that your point?
I'm thinking that that is why some people are attracted to this project, where I can get in spandex, dance, jiggle, be free, sing about the stuff I really want to sing about, and people are attracted to it. And they're not doing it. They're just watching me do it. So I do think there's you just keep doing it and I'll keep enjoying you.
There seems to be a lot of people able to relate to what you do when you wear that gold spandex suit with the big blonde wig and the big glasses and all the blue eyeshadow you smear right across your eyes. What you do is kind of funny. It's a little hokey, but it's also serious. Frequently, you get a lot of positive feedback, particularly from women and gay men.
Gay men have the best taste ever. They got some good, Kathy Griffith and Liza. I mean, I want to be in that category. Des Moines boys, love me all you want. I will be mama. And the ladies, I'm just trying to get them out of the office and into some tight, stretchy pants. The big girls who need to be wearing a size smaller just so they can get those curves going and all of it. I just want to inspire all of them and get them dancing and moving and be like Mr. Joe of Happy Joe's Pizza, the man you want to hang out with while you're eating a pizza crust. I want to be your dance counselor. Talk to me.
You're an Iowa girl from Ames, Iowa. And as I've gotten to know your act a bit more and talked to others about your work, I've run into people that know you from your high school days. And they say that back then you were funny. You're on your game with something kind of special. Is high school where you stumbled into this kind of performance?
This exact performance, performing, I'll narrow down to performing, happened when there was an open mic at the bar in Ames. And I wanted to dress up and rap to be funny. Look at me. Look at me, everybody, kind of a thing. And people looked at me and they clapped and they said, come back next week. And they came back next week to watch me again. And then that's how it's like the burning desire. And then they started buying me drinks and then they started tapping my buns when I walked by. And I said, I like this feeling. I want more of it. And it's just so then it's like, oh, I will create an outfit. I will write a song. I will make a music video. It's amazing how it just – and then when the money started, that's when it's like, shaboomsia. I'm quitting my grocery store job for this.
When did you know that you could sustain yourself doing this work?
Touring. When I started touring, that's when it financially was doable. If I just have to do X amount of shows each month, sell X amount of t-shirts, and I am completely self-employed, which is a beautiful, wonderful feeling.
How many people in your peer group can do that?
I don't know. Actually, in my high school, there's a couple people. There's a guy in Envy Corps. That's a famous band now. I don't know who else, though. My high school reunion's in a few months. I will find out.
When did you graduate?
I'm in 2000, so it'll be our 10-year.
At your 10-year high school reunion, obviously this act started for you in high school, and your classmates had to have recognized you as a charismatic performer. I mean, they elected you prom queen, and when you showed up to the ceremony, you showed up in a neck brace and a tiara. What's up your sleeve for your 10-year reunion?
I have dropped 40 pounds for this high school reunion. Let me tell you, I'm going to go to my high school reunion in gold spandex. Maybe not gold spandex, something, a sexy top. And I'm going to go and I'm going to say, you voted me prom queen. And I kissed a lot of people along the tours. And I've come back to say thank you because you allowed me to have too much confidence, a too big a head, and I have been rocking America's with it. Thank you, Ames High School. Thank you. And they'll clap like that, probably. I'm hoping. Or maybe they'll just ask me to leave. But after I get intoxicated, that's probably what I'll do. Stand on a chair, maybe. I'll say, I didn't make any babies, but I love you. So they'll be looking at baby pictures and stuff, and I'll show them my food baby and my stomach. Keyword. And maybe they'll buy me a drink. Who knows? We'll see. I'm excited. I'm actually looking forward to it.
One of the things I noticed about you this month is that you look different, trimmer in the face and in the waistline. In your costume, you have deliberately worn a tight gold spandex suit. And in your videos, you like to show off your extra weight, or as you call it in one of your songs, your body rolls. Now that you're smaller, does that mean your act needs to change? I mean, maybe I should phrase it differently. Can heavy-set women still be able to relate to a thinner Leslie Hall?
Yes. I do think it was it's a very much a plus size body image shape thing. And I did just want to become a vegan for animal issues, and I think it's a good thing for me. And yes, my body is changing, definitely adjusting to that. And if the people can't handle it, yes, I will eat more peanut butter cookies, vegan peanut butter cookies for them, because I want to keep doing this. And hopefully they'll accept me, though. I mean, it's just a different kind of thing, like a big hipped Britney, you know, birthable. Yes, I hope they like it. But yes, Mama needs to take in a couple of my gold suits, because. But I haven't decided if I want to wear pads yet. I feel like that's almost something I shouldn't do.
Do you think your audience will still find that relatable quality with you?
Absolutely. I definitely think it's about just the average chick wanting to go out and have a good time, feel confident, sassy, and be a diva. And she can do that because, you know, what's stopping you? Nothing. They make it in every size. So it's just a pro lady. Go out and get yourself some.
You know, for being a diva, you're really not that difficult.
Well, it's that darn Midwest thing that's just like, yeah, I do think that I could probably sass, you get a little nastier, but I don't know. Pleases and thank yous and trying not to be a pain in people's butts, you know. That's just part of the Iowa charm, I think.
Today, you're not in the gold suit, but when you put that costume on, you do change a bit.
I definitely think when my hair is looking that good, that high, my blue mascara is dribbling down my face, I know I got to be on. A lot of people pay to see the good stuff, and so I'm going to give them 100%. I'm going to hug them. I'm going to let them touch me. I'm going to do photos with them and teach them a thing or two about dancing on the streets.
Body roll, high kick, this is how we do it. it. What you said, bring it down, bring it down. Body roll, body roll. High kick, high kick. You activate and feel the burn.
I'm a dance floor tiger lady, pumping everything she has. Touching every single lad, rubbing every lady flat. Work that dance floor, they may vote you mayor jazz. One day have a plaque that says she wore the tightest of pants.
Watch out for my body rolls, watch out for my body rolls. High kicks, high kicks, this is how we do it. Watch out for my body rolls, watch out for my body rolls. High kicks, high kicks, this is how we do it.
Some of the things that the Leslie Hall performance does is to show off homemade, crafty things. I imagine that your space must be filled with Tupperware tubs filled with fabrics and yarn and other crafty things, you know, something like an insane Hobby Lobby market.
Have you been to my house? Are there cameras there right now? Because you were describing my house. I do. I go to Hobby Lobby with a coupon and I will buy all the stuff on the end racks. I will go to Joann's when they're having discounted damaged thread bolts and I will purchase them. Yes, I want to have crafts available at all times. I want to look like I made it and I want to be unique. And that requires using a sewing machine and it requires hot gluing things. So yes, that's individualities. I want to have that.
You are definitely a DIY or do-it-yourself kind of girl in the world of crafting. Do you like the word craft when describing what you do?
Yes, I would definitely describe how I work as DIY because we're booking our tours, we're making our outfits, we're making our music, we're writing our lyrics, we are coming up with our own product. And I think from that, yes, we've moved into the craft where now it's like, buy my headbands, buy a pair of stretchy pants that I made while watching the last season of Lost because it was a really good, really good show and I miss it. But yes, crafting. And I think it is catching on. It's a fiery, do it with your mom on her birthday. Maybe you'll do it alone with your cat. Either way, you're making something and you're being artistic.
Right now, your work is on display at the Des Moines Art Center, and part of it is a screen showing many of your videos. And another part is a series of portraits of you where you're dressed in the wig and the big glasses, and you're wearing in each photo a different gem sweater with sparkly rhinestones and other very flamboyant designs. What's this part of the exhibit all about?
I have collected gem sweaters throughout my entire life of since high school, and those are self-portraits of me in the sweaters, showing their beauty and their majesticness. Gem sweater being a sequin beaded rhinestone and/or puffy painted acrylic pullover. I give them each names, and they have been engraved in a plastic gold medallion, which is displayed framed. And there's like 60 of them there. I'm not sure. There's a bunch of them there, but gaze deep at them. Their beauty is museum quality. So it's about time that Des Moines put it there. Is that considered a museum? The center? Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Your exhibit with the videos and photos is just part of your work with the Art Center. Recently, you taught a class at the Des Moines Art Center called Leslie School for the Precious, and I sat in on that. And when I went into it, I recognized what it was within 2 minutes, that it was a class, but it was also a private performance.
Absolutely. Okay. You were paying to walk the Chosen. Were paid. The Chosen, as in they signed up early and they're like, I have to have this. They signed up. Yes, completely a performance. Everything was planned out, including their meals, when they could talk, what shoes to wear, what they had to do with their haircuts. And essentially they just had to sit back, do what I told them, and I would dance for them.
How'd that bit go over by the end of the night?
The class, I think, was a success. We are planning a part two. And we are also planning a second level, School for the Precious 102, or how part two. Yeah, I'm really liking being able to take these young women, these cubicled office workers, and turn them into me and show them how to wiggle and jiggle all night long to the beats of Rihanna and Miley Cyrus. The feedback is we did take comment cards. A lot of them wanted more food. A lot of them enjoyed the drunkenness. However it went, though, I really think we got some girls to step out of their comfort zone, which was the goal.
I remember seeing a lot of crafty things lying around. What else did you have them do?
There was like six different projects. They do it in one room, and then they go. The room was set up in the other room for them to do the next project. So it was definitely an overall experience where they didn't see anything being tousled or turned. It was supposed to be a Disney World ride kind of feeling, interactive, very science museum-y. All we needed was an IMAX, but I'm working on it. Don't you worry, Des Moines.
This is something I often hear about you. And that is that a lot of people, especially people from Des Moines, do not realize that you were and still are from here, Central Iowa, specifically Ames, Iowa. Do you get that a lot?
Absolutely. I hear that all the time. When I'm performing in other cities like L.A. and New York, they just think that I live there and that I'm doing that. But I do not think I could have the excitement and energy and the inspiration if I was living there, because they would just eat me alive and I would be shoulder to shoulder with 10 other people who dress in spandex and sing and dance. So here I like to be original and exciting, and I like it when people look at me and think, boy, that girl's crazy, because that, you know, makes me special, unique, and it's just fun to be weird.
That seems to have worked.
It does. And I do feel like I'm peaking at this point in my Des Moines. I don't even know what else I could do. Iowa Hall. Let me rephrase that. Adventureland and Iowa Hall of Pride. You are on my target list.
I read in your Twitter account, Midwest Diva, this tweet recently. It said, "A child's dream come true. Iowa State Fair." You're playing there this summer, right?
Oh yes. Attention, Iowa Public Radio listeners. August 17th at 8:30 a.m., I will take the stage along with my extravaganzas. We're talking about the early bird people. There will be no lines at the Iowa State Fair if you come for my show at 8:30. I just want it to be packed. I want people to be sweaty and in tank tops. I want a loose chicken to get loose from the poultry, which is next door, and to be flapping around. And I will catch it and hold it in my arms and egg it, de-egg it. I'm just thinking that we're going to put on one heck of a good show. And I'm playing at the Knapp stage, and there's no – Sheryl Crow probably won't be performing at the 9:30 slot or an American Idol finalist, but it's going to be the local girl taking charge. What are those at Ames Water doing to my body? Well, I think they should come and find out. You should come and find out.
Now, some could say that you're being sarcastic, but you're being genuine about this.
I have played with musicians who their joke is they're from Iowa, and they're not from Iowa. It's insulting. I live here, register here, vote here, and I go to Hobby Lobby with a coupon. I am completely an Iowa girl. It's true. No phony balonies. Just enthusiastic. Lee. A girl. Okay.
Leslie, thank you so much for hanging out with us today here at Iowa Public Radio. It was very nice.
I do hope this radio interview can educate, scare, and put more fear into the hearts of you and your children. I want to be a friend. I'll hold you. This is a classy joint. I like this. Iowa PT, PR, IPR, iPublic, IPR. You better believe it.
Wiki-wiki-wiki-wiki-whack. All the way to the clubs we pass, the Dairy Queen. You stop, because you know how much it means to me. We take the back seats out of your minivan. Now we roll like a Hummer or a full-size
now
sedan.
Now park this thing real close to the club and feel free to break out the Golden Lady rug.
And hold my hand when we approach the bouncer. I don't want to look like a hungry camp counselor.
Because this is how we go out in my town. We're down the windows, let Reba crack the bass. Way to the hot pocket peoples with the smiles on the face. Waiting and won't just a good time on the dance floor. Shake it if you wanna hear more.
Stomp once to hear Britney, and twice for Beyonce. Now three times if you wanna hear me get nasty.
Ooh,
girl, get nasty.
All I wanna do is a zig a zig a little louder now, cause I can't hear ya. You get me hotter than a stick of hot glue. And I'm scrapbooking everything we do. Ring, 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 that's my cell. Ring the bling when I sing, of course I will. Hand it to me to get the people shocked. My space by my lovers, can you hear me be talking?
It says I love you.
Leslie Hall's song titled How We Go Out. It's from her 2008 Chewlebrity. Music video version of this song is on YouTube and so far has nearly 2 million views. Leslie Hall has a lot of videos online. Most of them are in excess of 100,000 views. Leslie Hall's exhibit of pictures and gem sweaters and music videos will be on display at the Des Moines Arts Center. They'll be there through September as part of the Iowa Artists 2010 exhibit. She is one of 15 artists being featured. I'm John Pemble, and you're listening to Talk of Iowa. The program is produced by Dennis Reese, Alex Hoyer, Catherine Perkins, and Jeff Schmidt. The first half of today's program was produced by Jonathan All. We'd like to hear from you sometime. So send us an email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can find podcasts of Talk of Iowa, including today's Solid Gold show, on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Myself, ring the bling when I sing, of course I will. Hand it to me to get the people shocked. My space for my lovers, can you hear my beat talking?
Girl, get nasty. Girl, get nasty.
This is Iowa Public Radio.